We were church members, but not active, attended occasionally when our families were persuasive enough. We gave no thought to a future life, just lived a day-to-day existence. We were not wealthy, but always had plenty to make us feel comfortable. We both had automobiles, and liked to ride when opportunity offered, which was usually on Sunday. It so happened one Sunday that a few from our families wished to ride, so four of us were in my automobile, including my friend and partner. We miscalculated at a railroad crossing and we too soon found ourselves on this side. That is, we left our earthly bodies. Here is where our unusual experience comes in. We had just been laughing and talking about an article in the paper concerning ghosts. After our spirits left our bodies, we each seemed to realize that an accident had occurred, but each thought himself uninjured. But each could see the spirit form of the other, and its peculiar appearance to his new powers of spirit sight, convinced him that his partner had been killed and that his ghost was still present. It was a comedy of errors, if ever there was one, comma right in the midst of tragedy. Each thinking himself in the flesh and the other a ghost, there was no attempt to speak, so the mistake was not discovered. After the first excitement was over, we seemed to drift into oblivion for a time, and we think it must have been some months before we were aware that we were alive only in spirit. During the time we were separated, we were quite slow in gaining our knowledge of what had happened. Our experiences were not just the same, but nearly so. I think the realization that I had died probably came to me the earlier. When I did realize this, I was so filled with despair at leaving my earthly existence, and so little used to spirit ways, that all thought of my partner was absent for a long time. It seems his experience was slightly different. At any rate, he thought of me, and at once began to search for me. Because of our close companionship, he soon found me, and we have started on the road together. We had a hearty laugh over our ghostly experience, but also mingled with sorrow. 17 for our families left behind, two of whom were badly injured at the time we were killed. But as time passes, and we learn of the beauties and joys of this life, we realize that we have lost our desire to really return to earth life, and we anticipate now the things that we may attain in the future. Earthquake victims, we are not Mary and Dee. We are friends who wish to find friends on earth. Is Mary there? Not now, but she is willing that we should write. When she comes, she will tell you that she has given us permission. Mary, our leader on that side, usually guards the writing very carefully to prevent undeveloped or malicious spirits from bothering. We wish to know if anyone has survived the great catastrophe which brought us over. Sis had been reading about recent mine disasters in the papers, and naturally this was in her mind. But the pencil went on, quite away from that thought. We were killed in the earthquake in Japan, and so many came, we wonder if any were left. Were you Japanese? We were Americans, resident in Yokohama. We came as suddenly as if shot out of a cannon. I cannot describe the awfulness. We were not the first to come, and so had the terror, the horrible scenes of prevailing death, before we ourselves were killed. How were you killed? Falling walls, opening ground, and tidal waves all seemed to combine for the one unendurable moment in which we found our destruction. Then all was blank, all silence, knowledge faded, fear departed, leaving a sense of deep and quiet rest. This seems to us to give in a few words a wonderful picture of the moment of death. Do you know the response the United States made for help? And Sis related some of the things that were done. That is like the U.S.A. all one way or all the other. Will they now be at peace with Japan, I mean in the true sense of neighborliness? I am afraid the old color prejudice is too strong. 18 We too had some of that same prejudice when there. But, ah, if you could only see their white souls now, you would grieve over the blindness that refused to recognize them in their earth life. We have one message to give, that we live, and that each is going to his or her own place. For not all souls are white, not all are risen above selfishness, not all were kind instead of cruel, not all put service in place of self-seeking. Mary came at this moment, and wrote, "This is a true message. We know of the long and patient endeavor of their guardians to bring them out of their mortal condition of terror and pain. a spirit from earliest times. There is someone here who would like to write. We will help him to say what he wishes. He says, I am of another country and another language, but we here can translate our thought into your earth form of words. I wish most of all to have you believe in us, for we are trying mightily to influence the earth people heavenward. You see and know a little of the wickedness there, the heartless cruelty of a few, the dishonesty of many, and the paralyzing power of materialism against spiritual advance. What can we do? For the materialistic mind is not open to spirit influence. Therefore we try to find some medium of approach through other souls and minds, that we may in some way pierce the shell of materialistic thought. You are many times discouraged because of the growth and power of evil-mindedness there, and we here are only kept from discouragement by the knowledge that the right must prevail, for this is the law of the heavenly universe. No matter how slow the planets seem to move, their course is uninterrupted. No matter how slowly the great wheel of evolution turns, it still revolves and brings righteousness to all. But that event, that far-off divine event, comes with a slowness that we feel as well as you. Now can you and will you help us to get our words over? You wish to know who I am. I lived long ago in an age far more engulfed in wickedness than the present one, and I shuddered at what I saw, felt, and could not alter, and kept silent, knowing that words meant death. You must have lived in the Greek or Roman times? Before that even, when there was no light, no spiritual light on earth. In Babylon? No, before that. When you read in history of ancient times, traditions, sacrifices to strange gods, human sacrifices, and no one to tell us of a higher or better way, you read of the time when I lived, when I was a part of the great earth-born multitude. Only that deep down in my subconscious self there was an instinctive feeling that there was 19, something better, something purer and brighter and higher than the life that was lived. Can you tell us where this was? Over in Asia. But even the names are changed now. It was a land that knew not the true God, a land in which worship was ever cruelty. I came over because of cruelty, for I myself was a sacrifice to the gods. Can you believe this? It is certainly a strange story. Mary says, listen to him, for it is true. We know his history and know he is telling the truth, and the story can be multiplied by thousands of experiences. Why have they not advanced in all the ages? He has advanced. He is from a higher plane. But his desire to help the earth people enables him to come back to conditions in which he can communicate with them. A spirit from the time of Cromwell. We think the earth people should be made thoroughly acquainted with what is in store for them here. It is not always happiness at first, and for some it seems that unhappiness is their lot for a very long time, and all because of too firmly fixed ideas of what the future is like. We have in mind one who has been under our direct care for a time. He is now a happy and joyous soul, but it seems that he has been here for generations, and all that time he has been in a purgatory of his own making. He was an Englishman, and left the earth in the time of Cromwell. He was a religious enthusiast, and had pictured the future life in terms of hellfire on the one hand, and ages of bliss on the other. Not finding either, he conceived the idea that he had somehow missed the way, and was condemned to everlasting solitude. Can you understand what torment this would bring? But in those times, was he to blame for having such ideas? For the moment it seemed to us a terribly unjust punishment. We feel that he should have been able to learn more clearly what earth justice was, and that would have made him a different sort of a man. But he was opposed to anything contrary to his beliefs, and was unjust and oppressive to all who held them. This was something he should have been able to overcome despite his heredity and environment. We know that many who lived at that time had right ideas of justice, and administered the law with love and mercy. Such cases should have been an example for this man to follow. But he held the idea that only his way would take one into the realms of bliss in the future life, and he vigorously opposed any other belief. Was not that Cromwell's idea? Yes, and he was many years in learning the truth here. But being a man of greater intelligence and reason, he did learn the truth sooner than the other one. But after all, he only saw the same justice and injustice that the other man saw. But for so many, Heredity and environment seem to positively hedge about all their actions and ideas. 20 Yes, of course we were not all cast in the same mold. But we were all given the power of reason and choice. Unfortunately, too many set themselves up as judges, and fail to observe the arguments on the other side. We think these things should be given a thorough study by the Earth people. If the consequences here could be fully shown, they would certainly make some of them stop and examine themselves to ascertain what road they were traveling. When we were trying to influence this man, we found that he was only able to move from place to place, and to see dimly some of his surroundings. He was not able to see those who were trying to help him, and he could hear nothing. His own thoughts were all the company he had through the long centuries. We do not know just how long the time seemed to him, for of course he had no way of measuring it. But he says he can only express it by saying that it seemed endless. We were able to influence him by surrounding him with music. The continuous tones at last broke through his deafness, and set him to wondering whence they came. His attention having once been drawn to the fact that he was receiving impressions of sound, he was then led to detect other sounds, and finally made to understand that someone was trying to talk to him. After that, the progress was rapid. The small merchant, you have my sympathy if I am to write for you, for I am a new hand at this business, and fear I will not make much of the success of it. We are glad to have the opportunity to write when your leaders are not here, for they have more important things to say, and our little chatter has to wait. I am not a newcomer to this side of life, but I am rather new in this circle. I am trying to become familiar with the work of writing, for I am told I have much psychic power, and if I can become proficient in the use of this power, I may be of some service to others who have more important things to tell you. I was a man on earth who thought he was living a pretty good sort of life. I did not gamble, or do dishonest things, in the little business which I conducted. But I was not much interested in other people, and I see now that many times I was hard and selfish, when it would have been so easy to be kind and generous instead. Life there is looked upon as a sort of grab game. He who is most skillful in grabbing is supposed to be the most successful. Not necessarily a dishonest practice, but surely a selfish one. I was not situated where I could seize anything of any great value, but where the odds allowed it, I saw that they fell on my side. I was a small merchant in a small town. I was successful in a small way, but I made of myself a small man personally. And when I came here and learned what this life meant, it was a very small niche that I occupied for a very long time. I am growing slowly, and am trying to overcome the habits formed during my long life there. I have reached a point where I feel that these handicaps are more imagined than real now. So I make light of them and try to be happy. It is a wonderful world here. It is a wonderful life that is open to everyone. I feel. Page 21, sometimes that I do not deserve all the opportunities that lie before me. But I will try to be worthy of a little of the happiness that comes to me, and I will endeavor to send back to Earth a little of the knowledge I am acquiring. When you come, you will be able to see the results of selfishness in nearly every soul that comes, and will see that many have the feeling of being in the wrong place because they were unprepared. I was so unprepared that I did not even know that I was still alive for a long time. It was a surprise to learn the truth, and it was a hard road I had to travel. A woman's experience. I have watched the writing many times and have wondered if my experience would add anything to your records that you would find interesting. I am a woman. I have been here many years. I was born and brought up on the Atlantic coast, and moved to one of your western states when I was married. But that was many years ago. The year was 1840. I lived a lonely life on a farm, and I had many hardships, raised a family, and finally left my weary existence at the age of 68. I was never a church member, although brought up by Puritan parents. In coming into the Western country, I brought none of that teaching with me, however. In some ways I think I would have been happier if I had, for I would at least have been looking forward to something after death. As it was, I was so weary of life, I looked forward to peace and nothingness. I was ready to give up everything, there was so little I cared for. When I finally realized that death had not ended my existence, I did not know what to make of it. I could see or hear nothing. But I knew I was alive and that I had left my earthly body. I was distracted. For I felt that now I could not rid myself of life, no matter how much I suffered, or how weary I was. But I soon found that I was not suffering, except from loneliness, and after a time I began to wonder what it all meant. Surely there was something I had failed to understand. I certainly was not meant to pass through eternity in this lonely condition. Somewhere, somehow, I would meet someone in like condition, and then we could talk it over and try to arrive at some understanding. By good fortune, my mind was so undeveloped at that time that I did not have very bright reasoning powers, so time itself did not seem so long as it might. But I did finally reason that if I met someone and wanted to talk, I would have to make this person understand by new means. It seems that this thought of itself brought some light and understanding. For it was not long before I was aware that I was beginning to see and hear faintly. It was a delight, you may be sure, and you on earth can never conceive the joy I experienced when I first realized that someone was trying to talk with me. Of course, it was not long then until I was taught how to use my spirit powers, and soon I was able to take up my new life. In contrast with my old one, anything would have brought joy. But if I could make you comprehend even one small portion of the reality, you would still be far from realizing my full happiness. This is all. It isn't much. But it may help someone poor soul there to understand, and I do so want all there to know the happiness that awaits them here. The newcomer, we have brought a newcomer to talk to you tonight. He has come quickly into 22 consciousness, and into understanding of his spirit powers, and we thought you would like to hear what his first impressions are. We will write for him, as he is not able to do that yet. I have not been here long, and have lost none of my interest in the affairs of mortal existence. It is a wonderful change, and my mind has been so filled with the new sights and scenes, the new phases of existence, that I have not had time to be lonely. I have learned one thing already that it seems to me the earth people should be told. It is that we cannot change our character at the moment of death. What we have made of ourselves during our earth life determines what we will be here to a very large extent. I suppose one who was malicious or criminal there will in time change his character here, but the characteristics which caused him to turn to an evil life there will be his strong characteristics here, and he will have to learn how to turn these to better use. I think this point is not at all realized on earth. Those who believe the Bible teachings are too often filled with the idea that repentance will remake them, no matter what kind of a life they have led. And those who do not have this idea are usually lacking in any conclusion on the subject. I think I would also like to tell the earth people that it is not hard to pass through the gates of death. I found nothing that should cause any dread, and I am told that there should be no fear by anyone. I wish I had powers of description sufficient to tell you of my impressions of the life here. I do not know how human language can ever adequately express the beauty and charm of it all. I was met by my guides, and by those who were sent to help me, and I am thankful to say that I was soon made to understand the things necessary for me to do. I was soon able to see and hear, and not long in learning how to express myself. I was very slow at times on earth to grasp the meaning of spiritual things, but I was honest and earnest, and always seeking knowledge. I had formed no very definite ideas of this life, but I did have a firm belief that personality continued. I was not ill long, so I arrived with little loss of vigor, and with little to unlearn. I realize that I was extremely fortunate, for I see so many who have much difficulty in understanding what this life means. I was fortunate too in finding this circle, for it contains some really beautiful souls, and for their companionship alone, heaven is a wonderful place. I am told there are many equally delightful circles. But I also know there are many spirits who cling together because of similar ideas and beliefs who lack much in advancement. So I find my pathway broad and easy and my life one of continuous delight. I have taken up no studies of importance yet, and may not do so for a time. To observe, and learn by observing, seems sufficient just now. I know your teachers, Mary and Dee, and as they are not here, I can express myself freely as to the loveliness and beauty of their souls. No finer are in heaven, I am sure. I will not stray far from these wonderful people, so you may hear from me again as I wander to and fro. Then one of the circle wrote, 23 He is one in a million. We think he should have been a famous man on earth, but for some reason which we have not learned, he seems to have been known the only to a small community. But we all know he was a great influence there. We are pleased to have him with us. The story of the school teacher. We are anxious to tell you our story. It is a little different from most you have, and may interest someone there. I was a school teacher on earth in a western village. I worked hard, almost starved at times in order to buy the other things I craved. I was never married, and had little attention from the male sex. I was not old when death relieved me from further efforts to keep body and soul together. The one who is my companion now was a man much above me in intellectual station when he was on earth. He was a college graduate, a successful teacher, and had a comfortable living. He too remained unmarried. We met here soon after his arrival. As I was caring for some of the newcomers, I was attracted to him by his undoubted culture, and when he was able to understand this life, he seemed drawn to me by the fact that learning and knowledge meant so much to me. I was not then ready to form an alliance, for I had never felt any necessity for such a partner. So we drifted along. I went on with my work of helping the poor souls who came in such multitudes with every passing day. When I next met my friend, he had climbed high in the study of astronomy, which you know is one of the fascinating attractions here. I was induced to join him in one of the excursions for observation, and during the journey my inner self began to realize the need for a more constant companionship with someone. And after our return allowed the intimacy to grow. It soon ripened into the great attraction that draws all of opposite sex together at some time in their journey through eternity. We have been together now for a long time, and the bliss of close companionship is what I would somehow like to tell you about so that the world can get some faint understanding of this part of our life and happiness. But how can I tell it? It is the most wonderful experience of one's life, as those on earth know who have had the good fortune to realize it there. We see many who come here who have thought they had made an alliance which would last forever, who had no real conception of such happiness. It is felt only once by anyone, and can never be mistaken when it really comes. I have watched the growth of several such attractions here, and I realize that the earth life seldom encounters the real thing. Many married people continue together here for a long time, and yet gradually drift apart as they learn the true laws governing such mating. It is always happiness, however. Such separations here are never accompanied with sorrow. It may seem a little indelicate to you for me to enlarge upon so intimate a subject. But we here know that it is the ultimate happiness of everyone, and something which most here are ready to take into consideration at any time. If you will remember who is writing this, you will find when you come two of the happiest souls whom you will have the pleasure to meet. But it is always so, isn't it? All lovers think their case is the very best the world ever saw or knew. We here know, of course, that it is only a question of temperament and character that determines the depth of the happiness that comes with each mating. But for those concerned there is never any other that compares with theirs. 24 Well, I will not gush any further on the subject, but I felt that this would be something I could write easily about, and we know you are seeking the full truth of this life. Different viewpoints, we have our different personalities here as we did there. And we do not all look at things in the same way here any more than we did there. If you can receive the ideas of many from here, it will aid you in forming a more correct understanding. If you only have one person's messages, you only get their viewpoint and their way of expressing it. I have been here many years as earth time goes, and I have myself seen fit to change my ideas about some things more than once, as I obtained a fuller understanding of them. We know that there are certain fundamental truths, just as you know there are certain fundamental laws. But in the various things which surround these truths, there are matters which we can interpret according to the impressions they make upon us. We might use as an example the attitude that most of us take here in regard to the union of the two sexes. When I first came over, I was thoroughly convinced that there was no marriage in heaven, and for a long time I could not see that there was anything to indicate it. I saw men and women associating freely and independently, and although I saw apparent friendships of more than usual intensity, I did not think of them as inseparable. If I had been communicating with Earth at that time, I would have conscientiously said that there was no mating here that was lasting. But now I know that the two sexes are drawn together here sometime by indissoluble ties. And of such is the kingdom of heaven. I might also tell of the first ideas I had regarding the way children grow and reach maturity. I saw children occasionally, and I saw teachers instructing them at times. But I did not understand that they grew up here just as they do there, only more rapidly. I thought they always remained children, and I associated some of them with the ideas I had on Earth of cherubs. It was really quite an astonishment when I did learn the truth. I could hardly believe it, so firmly fixed were my first ideas. In matters of a more abstract nature, I see I am even now not in entire agreement with many fine advanced spirits. We have minds to reason with, and when certain facts are given us, we use them according to our own personality, just as two carpenters will build different houses out of the same materials. I could give you many examples. In caring for the newcomers, I have different views from many. But I have succeeded and they have succeeded, so who is right? You may think that I am something of a freak, perhaps, but I can assure you that I am not unique. We find much pleasure here in the fact that we do have different personalities and different ideas. It makes life more enjoyable in every way. If we all thought alike, we should necessarily all be alike, and we most of us think we prefer variety. After he ceased, our leader remarked, "We like him very much. He is not eccentric, just a strong character, one who believes firmly what his mind reasons out as the truth. We think that is what the mind is for, so we think such individuals are showing the greatest progress." 25. The ordinary businessman. I was never given to mysteries. I was just a plain ordinary businessman, trying to take care of my wife and family, and keep them from want, in either intellectual or physical ways. My sons went through college, my daughters to a boarding school, and I thought I had done pretty well by them all. But I did not bring them up in any spiritual thought. I left them to find what they could from church or books or papers. They are there yet, a worldly set, living only a material life. What can I do for them now? Is there any help? Could you reach any of them through influence from there? I think not. None of us thought of spirit life. None of us tried for silent influence or silent cultivation. In fact, we did not know the term. We thought all education was for the brain, and then to react in business or pleasure. The consequence is that I have been a long, long time in arriving at anything here that I could call happiness. And I want to preach a sermon to my family, and I cannot. What influence is there on earth which could guide them to a quicker realization of the happiness here? The church should be able to do it. I doubt if it does. Too formal, and my boys and girls were not much of churchgoers anyway. I said there were good books if only they and the readers could be brought together. Mary says, that is the trouble. The public generally frowns on spirit communications or spirit belief. The church is good, and for many, their salvation. Yet its formal doctrines and observances do not always educate toward the highest spiritual life. No. He will simply have to wait until they arrive here. He himself has outgrown all of the earth-born creeds, and looks, as we do, to the supreme power and love for inspiration and guidance. All will be well with his family at last, but they will come slowly into the higher life because, we judge from what he has told us, they are absorbed in purely worldly social plans, and have little or no thought of this life. Seeking Earth friends, Mary and Dee were called away one evening, and the other members of the circle explained their absence. They were called to another circle to help find an Earth friend for a spirit lately arrived. They have done so much of this work, they are frequently called to other circles. They have succeeded when others have failed, many times, in aiding newly arrived spirits, and in helping others who are here. For there are many unanswered questions for those who first arrive. Sometimes they expect to find the heavenly home as they themselves have constructed it from Bible references or Sunday sermons or funeral descriptions, and they become dazed and halfway lost because they do not find this heaven of their imagination. There is much to do here to help the multitudes who come. With every second. Page 26, some soul arrives on this side. Sometimes in great catastrophes they arrive by hundreds. Can you not see how often we are called to help? Everyone is tenderly cared for. Some are worthy, some are unworthy. But they are received gently and lovingly in every case.